What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Good morning, millennials. Happy Friday. Hey, Claude, you want to bring us into today's episode with song?
Yes, I do, you guys. It is Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, weekend. Friday, Friday. Getting down on Friday. Wow, it's Friday, you guys. We fucking did it.
We did it. It's just so exciting that it's Friday, honestly. It's another, like, gloomy day here in New York, which made waking up really difficult. And it was made easier knowing that we have 2 days of alarm-free living coming up. And isn't that something?
It's really rainy here in Pennsylvania, too. But it's a mood for sure. And we're just rolling into the weekend, you guys. Like, we're feeling blessed. We're feeling de-stressed. How are you feeling, Jackie? Another day, another LC update.
I am feeling okay. Like, I'm really starting to, you know, be at my wit's end.
Breakdown.
And the mornings are when I'm feeling my best. And if I'm coming on here saying, like, I don't know, then I can't even imagine what the afternoon has in store for me. The evenings are just, like, so uncomfortable. I can't even. Like, I can't.
I'm so sorry. Cannot. You're so close to the end.
I know.
Your maternity leave starts at the end of next week. We're here. We're supporting you. If you need to take a day off, you let me know. I'll just talk to myself for an hour. I think people will just love that. But we're so proud of you. We're so proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you. No, but doing the show really, like, gets my spirits up. And it's nice to, like, have some purpose. So I just need to shake off these, like, cobwebs. I mean, like, my neck is kind of, like, just everything fucking hurts. And it's all coming down at once. And it's just really, really crazy. And then, like, my sleep is getting worse, which is affecting my mornings, which were my best part of day.
When you, like, walk around your house and, like, go pee and stuff, do you think, like, oh my god, my water could break at any moment? I don't think you're there yet, are you?
I don't feel like I'm there yet. And people say the baby drops, like, lower into your belly before it's time to get ready. And I don't know that baby has dropped.
Okay.
I feel like I would know, and I don't think that he has. So
I think you would know for sure.
So I think I'm not worried necessarily about that. But when I'm walking around my apartment, I'm just, like, waddling. Like, it's so cliche the way that you move around.
Walk,
like, like, hands on belly, hands on back, just, like, from side to side. Like a big old lady.
You're a big woman, and we're so excited for you. Like, this is just a first toast baby. Like, that is so crazy.
It's so crazy. Can I ask you a question?
Me?
When are you going home? And what are you doing this weekend?
I don't know.
You don't have shows this weekend, right?
No, next weekend. So, like, that's why I've just really been, like, taking it easy. Ben is away. Ben was in Florida working, and I was on a golf trip with his friend. So I would have been home alone all week, which, you know, I fucking hate.
Right, right. No. And you know I fully endorsed your decision to make a week of it. I'm just, like, wondering when you come home.
Well, I'll probably come home after the weekend because I have a lot of stuff to do next week, and we have an amazing guest coming in studio next week. So I have to get back to the real world.
You're
sadly not going to be there.
I'm not going to be there, but I think I'll just submit, like, a list of questions, and you can just, like, say, these come from Jackie. Please respond.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
No problem.
I have such FOMO.
I know. So I do have to come back next week. So I'm going to spend the weekend. No plans yet, but I'm sure it'll be a grand old time. And then I'll officially be back in the real world. But I don't know. That's the remote podcast life. You could do it from anywhere. A farm.
I'm not complaining. And because you have no clothes, like, we're getting skeletons every day.
I have no clothing because I was literally supposed to leave my house on Thursday, do shows Thursday, Friday, which requires no clothing, just like my costume, and then come home like Saturday or Sunday. And that was a week ago. So thank God I brought Spooky Scary, and thank God Brian has a premium washing machine. I have been washing them almost every day, which like pains me because the more I wash it, the more disintegrated these cheap Target pajamas come, and I cannot find another pair for the life of me. So it pains me to throw them in the wash, but like I'm walking around the farm, there's horses, like I gotta wash them.
Yeah, you do, but I understand fully. I also wanted to give an update because I said yesterday on the show that I don't think that there's anyone out there who's read every single Redhead's book and listened to every single episode. And
you offended an entire community.
No, I was really overwhelmed and like flooded with responses of people saying, no, I am the person. I have done every single book, every single episode. And there were so many more people than I would have expected. I would have thought like one, two, maybe three. But like I got DMs to my personal account. I got DMs to the Redheads account. So I'm just like so honored that 28 books, 28 episodes, you guys are riding with us.
I literally told you.
I couldn't believe it because it's a lot. It's a lot of homework.
Of course, but that's what I've been trying to tell you. Like, the Redheads can't be stopped.
They can't be stopped. And I actually gave you a book suggestion last night, Red, White, and Royal Blue. It was our second ever Redheads book. And, like, the crew didn't love it, but I think that you would. And I think you should read it next. Okay. And then you can listen to the episode.
My next challenge, not challenge, but my next thing on my to-do list is to watch the Hating Game movie. Okay. Because people actually said it was really good, even though when I was like reading the book, I couldn't see Lucy Hale being played as Lucy, which is just weird. I don't know who the man is, but like I just wasn't getting Lucy vibes from Lucy.
Got it. Interesting. You've been watching a lot of TV, yeah? Like, no okay, shade.
So I want to do a TV recap.
Okay.
No. Literally, like, and for me, it's nice that I can watch a lot of TV and not feel like a piece of shit because it's literally my job. Like, I have a full TV recap plan for today.
Okay.
About two of the craziest documentaries I watched last night. One of them is trending right now, The Tinder Swindler. Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it, and it looks good, so you'll share with us.
I mean, it was painful because this man was, like, so evil and, like, Jewish, and I was, like, and he was making his, like, fake names so Jewish, and I'm like, we have our own problems. Like, stop. Like, seriously. It was painful. It was painful, that part. But it was really good, basically, and I'll do a whole recap, but he ran, like, a $10 million Ponzi scheme through Tinder. Like, it was so crazy.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Yeah, and then the second thing I watched was just Taken at Birth, which I haven't finished yet. Like, our eyes were, like, closing, but we needed to finish, so we still have, like, an hour left. It's a six-hour documentary. It is the most fucked up. It's like Three Identical Strangers, but on like a huge scale.
Taken at birth by who?
Dr. Hicks.
Where is he taking them?
So he ran a clinic in Georgia in the 60s, and it all happened so long ago. They're having such a hard time finding information. He ran a clinic in the 60s that was known for doing illegal abortions in like a safe way, and he then turned that into running like an enormous adoption ring, like selling babies out the back door for $1,000.
Oh, wow. That sounds
over 200 babies.
Well, I'm not going to watch that at the current junction, but no. It sounds interesting. No,
no,
no, no.
Oh, so no. I want to talk about both of those in the TV recap. Okay. And then we have a special guest at the end of the episode, and we've got the Fast Five. So it's going to be a gorgeous Friday.
Yeah, a gorgeous Friday, and I feel like a lot of the stories are just, like, tying up loose ends from the week, and then we can embark on the weekend, like, feeling like we can put this week behind us. We've had answers to some of the bigger questions that have been asked this week, as you shall see. Yeah. And I think without further ado, it is time for the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And before I tell you who today's episode is brought to you by, the Olympics started last night. It was the opening ceremony.
I know. It was going to be a part of the stories, if you could hold your horses.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'll shut up. Okay. Today's episode is brought to you by Paint Your Life. Making new memories in a new world, we have found the best way to hold on to those memories, turning them into something that lasts forever at paintyourlife.com. So Paint Your Life, I actually happen to have a gorgeous painted portrait of Theo from. It is perhaps my favorite sponsor. You can get a professional hand-painted portrait created from any photo at a truly affordable price, or you can combine photos of people or places you love into one painting. I know a lot of people like to use this service to paint pictures of people who have passed away with, you know, maybe their father passed away and then they had a baby that their father never got to meet. So they commissioned someone to paint
the two people together, and it's like really emotional. It's literally an amazing gift, and it's also just like the best thing for yourself. So you could choose from a team of world-class artists and work with them until every detail is perfect. It's a super user-friendly platform that makes it easy to order a custom-made hand-painted portrait in less than 5 minutes, and you can receive your portrait in as little as 2 weeks. So send any picture, yourself, your children, your family, and you make the perfect birthday gift, anniversary, or wedding gift. It's meaningful, personal, and it can be cherished forever. I love my Paint Your Life portrait of Theo. It's perhaps one of my most prized possessions. Like, if there was a fire, I would grab it first.
That is so stunning. So I have a Paint Your Life portrait from my wedding, which is just like, it looks like a piece of art. Oh. And it's like all the flowers from my, it's stunning, but now I need one of Bruce.
At paintyourlife.com, there's no risk. So if you don't love the final painting, your money's refunded, guaranteed. And right now is a limited time offer. Get 20% off your painting. 20% off, that's right. And free shipping, but only when you use a special offer by texting MORNING to 64,000. That's MORNING to 64,000 to get free shipping and 20% off. So MORNING to 64,000. Paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter most. Message and data rates may apply. Terms apply. Available at paintyourlife.com/terms. Again, that's MORNING to 64,000. And today's episode is also brought to you by ZipRecruiter. According to latest research, 90% of employees plan to make enhancing the employee experience a top priority in 2022. After all, a happy workplace is key to attracting and keeping great employees. And if you need to add more employees to your team, there's ZipRecruiter. Their matching technology helps you find the right people for your roles fast. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/toast. So ZipRecruiter uses its powerful technology to find and match the right candidates up with your job. Then it proactively presents these candidates to you. You can easily review these recommended candidates and invite your top choices to apply for your job, which encourages them to apply faster. It's no wonder ZipRecruiter is the number one rated hiring site in the U.S. based on G2 ratings. Find the right employee for your workplace with ZipRecruiter. Try it for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/toast. That's ZipRecruiter.com/TOAST. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Wonderful. Thank you, Claudia.
It's a pleasure doing business with you.
Okay, first story, some breaking-ish news from Kanye, because he's taking to Instagram to really ask for help here. He posted a screenshot of North TikTok and said, "Since this is my first divorce, I need to know what I should do about my daughter being put on TikTok against my will."
I mean, I don't think promoting her account is
helping.
Gonna help.
No, but this is definitely something that comes up in divorce proceedings. Like, we see it on, you know, Housewives all the time, like when two people get divorced and then yeah. It means that the kids can't film. This is a really interesting subject. I agree. It's drawing more attention to it right now. And, like, we know how North loves her TikTok. So that's kind of a bummer.
She's not being forced on TikTok against her will. Literally, North is forcing Kim against her will to make a TikTok.
No, but she's on TikTok against Kanye's will. Like, Kanye doesn't approve. Not against her own will.
I just think that's kind of hypocritical. Like, he doesn't want... Okay, I would understand if, like, he was always keeping North in the dark, not in the public. But, like, didn't he literally have her perform at his enormous Fashion Week show? Like, So just because it's not your idea, like, you're unhappy with it. He exploits North all the time. Not in a bad way.
Made. Like, points so are being made.
Why TikTok? Why is TikTok different from all other platforms?
I don't know. He'll have to explain himself for that, because that is a good point. Because ultimately, I feel this a little bit. I mean, I just think kids are on these platforms too young in general.
I agree.
I also think that taking to Instagram to share your qualms is not the place to do it. But I also agree with you that North has very much been on a bigger platform under bigger spotlights thanks to Kanye, and that was okay with him. So it's a little hypocritical.
Yeah, and also, like, things like this just give me a pit in my stomach, because whenever Kanye is, like, publicly feuding on social media with his family, in the past it's just correlated to, you know, some of his mental health struggles. And I hope that's not what's going on here, but it just does give me, like, reminiscent of, you know, his Twitter rants, which we know was, like, a really negative headspace for him. So I hope that they can work it out privately, and that this doesn't mean Kanye is, you know, struggling again.
Yeah, but he said this a few weeks ago also. I think when he was making those videos in the car on the way to the birthday party. Like, he's been saying he doesn't like North on TikTok.
No, but, and I believe that, but, like, handle it. You telling us about it is not going to help your cause. Like, no. There's nothing we can do.
And he needs to take it up with the boss herself, North.
Chris.
No, North is in charge of North's destiny. And if he is having an issue, he needs to talk to North.
And I really believe this is one of North's passion projects. And as someone who's like a firm believer in following your passions and, you know, following through on your passion projects, I do support. Like, I do believe North, she wakes up every day and can't wait to make a TikTok. Like, it makes her so happy. I really think that.
So she's going to have to explain that to him. I think she's the only one who could really get through to him and be like, Dad, I love the talk. The talk life is the best life.
It is the best life. I agree with you, North, and I understand. And if someone was trying to take away my TikTok privileges, like, they'd have to fight me for it. So I fully support North in her passion projects.
And I fully support Kanye in his wanting limitations for TikTok.
Of course, so do I. But, like, really handling it, like, it makes me feel like he's not serious because he's posting it on Instagram.
Agreed. I don't like the way he's handling it. But the message itself, I think, has merit. I think this is probably something that a lot of parents, like, this is, might be relatable for a lot of parents of, you know, 8-year-old girls.
Yeah, I mean, that's, like, something that when I think about in the future, like, having to, like, talk to my kids about social media, like, I'm going to be, even though it's, like, so hypocritical because it's literally my whole job, like, my children will not have access to social media. Like, after I saw The Social Dilemma and, like, what it's doing to the minds and mental health of our young girls, like, I will literally, and I say that now, but then, like, once they're going to start crying, I just throw them the phone. Like, that's definitely something I think about a lot. Like, how am I going to have that conversation? And, like, what are my parenting rules going to be as it pertains to social media? And is that immensely hypocritical of me?
Here's the thing. It sounds hypocritical because, like, your whole life is social media and, like, you've made your career and you're living with social media. But I think the more invested in social media you are, like, the more aware you are of all of the negative consequences as opposed to someone who just, like, partakes just for fun and when they feel like it.
That's
so
true.
I actually think that most people, including, like, celebrities, influencers, like, they have seen the darkest sides of social media, so they are the most
equipped,
wary of letting their kids use it.
That's actually a really good point. But, like, I think about that a lot, and I'm not even a mother.
Yeah. No, it's scary out there. And it's also, like, every day, every week, every month, like, it's degenerating further. Like, we're not trending in an upwards.
It gets worse and worse.
We're not trending in an upwards positive direction with the social media comments and behaviors.
No, it's not it's not linear progress.
No, it's dissension.
Delinear.
Thank you.
Is that the right word? I don't know. I, like, literally got Wordle in 2 tries today, so I think I'm, like, an actual wordsmith.
Oh my God. So I shared my Wordle yesterday. First of all, I just want to let everyone know I did not guess shart. Okay. And I couldn't.
Oh, by the way, it took everything inside me not to guess shart yesterday.
Okay. Because I couldn't share, like, I posted my experience on Wordle, but I couldn't share about the shart because I didn't want to give anything away. Now that it's a new day, I need to let you know, like, I did not guess shart, but I had S-H-A-R for 4 tries before I got it. I had share, I had shark, I had sharp. Mm-hmm. And then it was shard.
But I like, that's not even a word. Like, that was the most annoying word they could have chosen.
I know. But I just didn't want to be associated with a shard. So
no, but you are. It's too late.
I had to clear my name. Okay, are you ready for our next story? A follow-up to yesterday's story. Our little bubble of joy is over because Khloe Kardashian is denying dating Harry Jowsey. I mean, she definitely left it open to interpretation when she wrote in caps, absolutely not true.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure where we landed, where we netted on all of this. It's still possible.
Yeah, I think that they're probably, it's like early days.
For sure. But you know what's so funny is, like, Harry Jowsey's such, like, a fuckboy, like, living for the attention. He had posted a photo dump, like, of his week, and buried in the middle was this photo of, like, he's sitting in the driver's seat, and in the passenger seat, there's all these flowers, and it's, like, a really nice car. So the Dumois tip said, flowers and Bentley, and he literally put up a photo of what appears to be flowers and a Bentley. So he was obviously, like, pulled that from Pinterest and just, like, was trying to,
like, he's living for it. Kind of reminds me of when, like,
Jeffree Star
was like, I'm going to Sunday service.
That was funny.
Yeah, that was really funny. I mean, this was fun while it lasted. Also, I got some DMs that Harry Jowsey had been linked in the past to Larsa.
Yes, okay, and they actually spoke about it on, what TV show was it? It was Love is Blind. Oh wait, no. That was, okay, never mind. Yeah, no, it was Larsa. Okay, on, like, the Love is Blind reunion, do you remember Damien, who was engaged to Giannina?
Yeah.
He had paparazzi pictures, I think, with Larsa, and it became, like, a whole thing.
With Francesca.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, I'm getting my reality stars confused. But yes, he had been linked, but I think they just, like, went to dinner and he, like, helped her to her car and the paparazzi were outside. Like, I don't think it was a thing.
I don't know. I could ship that, too, now that I'm a Larsa stan.
Yeah, I mean, literally the one and only. So, yes, this is not true. Our heart is breaking. But you know what? What you said yesterday is entirely possible. Maybe this is their meet cute.
Yeah. Maybe this is their meet cute, just like a Hallmark movie. And I would say on this, like, there's definitely a chance. You know?
Yeah. No, I don't know if I would say that, but I think there's a chance that they just met yesterday. Like, you see this crazy rumor about us?
Yeah. Yeah.
We should get drinks and talk about it, you know?
Yeah. Talk it through. For sure.
Thinking it through.
That is so funny. Well, you know, it was fun while it lasted. And to whoever made it up and submitted it, like, that's just really fun. And I believe it's harmless gossip. I mean, I hope it didn't cause any harm to anyone. I can't imagine how it would have. But it was just like a fun thing for us to all experience.
I was thinking about that yesterday. Like, the person who actually pulled this rumor out of their ass and decided to, like, just fuck with everyone obviously didn't think it would become, like, as big of a thing, like, to the point where Chloe's responding. Nobody thought that. And she's probably, like, either hysterically laughing in her bedroom or, like, freaking out that, like, people are going to find out that it was her and she started this.
I think that she is working on her next rumor and it's not going to be as good. And she's going to get herself into trouble. So if you're listening to this, I would say quit while you're ahead. You had success here. Don't keep going, because usually it doesn't end up like this and people get big mad.
Well, she is a powerful woman. So if she is listening to this, like, I wouldn't mind you starting a harmless rumor about me. Like, here's some suggestions.
Okay.
Claudia Autry, you know, and Ben Soffer add third to their relationship. John Mayer confirms. Something like that.
Okay. Love it. I could believe it.
I don't, that's all, that's the only one. That's the one I want out there.
Okay. Maybe I'll do it.
I could believe it too.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. I'll do it. That's, like, the most niche movie reference that, like, only our family, like, giggles at. And I bet, okay, does anyone in the world know what this is from? I'll do it. I don't give a fuck. I'll do it. No, because it's literally the most random moment in Borat from, like, 15 years ago when he gets in, like, this RV with a bunch of college kids.
Like, a bunch of so random. Crazy people. Yeah.
I'll do it. I don't give a fuck. I'll do it. I feel like we say it a lot on the toes, but we've actually never, like, explained what it's from. It's from Borat, and it's, like, literally the most unremarkable scene, and I don't know why, like, as a family, we, like, we're just very impacted by that quote, and we use it all the time.
It's so funny, and I think it's also a great moment to, like, have a Borat appreciation moment if you're looking for a great movie to watch this weekend. Add it to your list.
Yeah, if you're looking for a great Sacha Baron Cohen movie to watch, I would suggest, which one is Aladdin? The Dictator?
The Dictator.
That's my favorite one.
Yeah, that one is so good. And also, oh my God, so you know how we always say every time, and this is like another family random joke that we always say, like when we take a COVID test and it's negative, we say
positive,
we're COVID
or negative.
We say we're COVID Aladdin. And I was actually talking to someone and I said it. I was like, oh my God, Aladdin. And they were like, someone said that to me and I didn't know what it meant. And so someone else is going around saying COVID Aladdin also. But you only say it when you're negative, even though it means positive and negative. But you only say it when you're negative, because if you're obviously COVID positive, you're not making a joke about it.
So for those who don't know what Aladdin is, it's from the movie The Dictator. Basically, Sacha Baron Cohen plays a dictator where he just, like, changes all the rules in his country. And he makes his last name, Aladdin, mean like 50 different things. So it means positive. It means negative. So they cut to this guy at a clinic getting tested for STDs. He's like, sir, your test was Aladdin. Yay. No. Such a good movie.
Such a good movie. Definitely watch it. I hope everyone is COVID Aladdin this weekend.
And then also the theme song of the movie is ba-da-da-da-da. It's the motherfucking D-O-double-G. Aladdin, motherfucker. So good.
Maybe you should have a Sacha Baron Cohen watch weekend.
Sacha Baron COVID. Well, actually, everything he does is so funny. But do you know that he has, I actually never saw it. He has like a serious role. It's a short series The Spy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I saw it.
I heard it was amazing. Oh, you did?
It's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing. It's a lot, but you should watch it. It's so good.
Yeah, I always think that I need to watch that.
Yeah, you definitely should. Add it to the Sacha Baron Cohen marathon weekend. Yeah. Okay.
Not to be annoying, but you know, I met Sacha Baron Cohen once.
And how did that go?
I've never actually in my life been so starstruck. Like, I just stood there. Honestly, met is a strong word because, like, we were in a circle of people and everyone was talking and I was just, like, sitting there because I was, like, nervous.
That's how meets usually go.
It was really overwhelming. Like, I had a whole speech, like, my Jewish king, but I didn't.
No. No. He doesn't want to hear it.
Not at all.
Are you ready for our next story?
Is it the next story that's brought to you by Hydro Jug?
Yes. Wow. Hydro Jug is a perfect Friday sponsor.
Okay. So Hydro Jug, if you struggle with drinking water or you just want to really, like, as a resolution, start drinking a good amount of water, the Hydro Jug is a perfect place to start. So the Pro Hydro Jug, the stainless one, or the glass Hydro Jug. My favorite is the stainless one because I'm like a beast and I can be, like, really rough on it and it, like, doesn't scratch. It's a perfect water bottle. It's Instagram worthy. It's super clean. It keeps your water clean and it cold, but it also looks super cute as well. So the lid is the best part, in my opinion. There are no other lids like this on other water bottles because it includes a flip cap, a dual function sip spout, and a detachable straw. So I can sip from the straw, if I'm wearing lipstick, and remove the straw and pour it like normal. And you know I'm like a straw girly girl, so the fact that the straw is there but it's also adjustable is just wonderful. The stainless steel one has insulation for hours, so it's the upgrade you need to drink more water. Their triple layer insulation will keep your water cold all day long. The jug features a silicone base to keep it where you want it and never stress about leaks or condensation again. The fixed handle makes it easy, so you can still drink one-handed and you won't be able to get enough of the dual function sip spout. Sip through the attached straw or remove the straw to pour. You're gonna love everything about it. The wide mouth opening, the integrated handle, all their products are BPA free because sustainability is really important to them. So get your Hydro Jug at thehydrojug.com. Use the discount code TOADS to get 10% off your order today. Hydro Jugs are game changers for anyone on the go. Again, use code TOAST at thehydrojug.com to get 10% off today and start hydrating today. Great thing to do for, like, top of the year, start drinking more water, leave it on your nightstand. It's also just nice to always have water with you.
It really, really is. Water can really solve a lot of problems. I don't think people realize that. No, it, yeah, well, definitely that. Okay, our next story, a little casting news. Dakota Johnson is in talks to star in a Spider-Man spin-off movie called Madam Web. Don't look so excited, Claudia. The 50 Shades of Grey star is reportedly in talks to appear in a Spider-Man spinoff entitled Madam Web for Sony Pictures. The character was first introduced in 1980's The Amazing Spider-Man comic. She's described as a mutant who can predict the future of Spidey superheroes and is usually drawn as an old woman who is blind and paralyzed. She's essentially surrounded by web-like machinery to help her live and stay safe.
Okay, I don't know. I'm feeling all over the place. I think the concept of, like, a female Spider-Man is great. Love it.
Yeah. Especially, like, one that's, like, based in something that comes from the comics, not just, like, we're gonna make a Spider Woman today.
Yeah, no, totally. That's, like, offensive to women. The thing with Dakota Johnson is, like, I, like, wanna hate her because she's, like, really the face of nepotism. Like, she got a lead role in an enormous franchise and I don't think she'd ever acted a day in her life. Like, it's the most shocking, nepotistic. Both of her parents are famous, but for some reason it doesn't bother me because she's, like, kind of a queen. She's, like, so beautiful and funny, and she was the queen who really unraveled the Ellen story. And so for that, I feel like we just have to support this project.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't have strong feelings one way or the other, but I do feel like recently her modern family relationship with Gwyneth and Chris mm-hmm. and everything just, like, really reflects positively on her as a person. I think it's, like, a really hard situation to come into. And Gwyneth had just posted, like, this week how much she loves Dakota.
Yeah, no, by the way, I completely agree with you, but I think it says a lot about Gwyneth.
Oh, well, of course, but we already knew that she's, like, a modern queen.
For me, like, if Gwyneth gives her stamp of approval to anyone, especially someone who's dating the father of her children, like, this person must be exceptional.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And because we already know that Gwyneth is exceptional. And it we takes, do. Like, you know, most people, I don't know if they... or is it the person who's, like, not welcoming the new person into the family, or is it the new person that's coming into the family, like, stinks most of the time?
It depends on the circumstances, I'm sure. We could do a Dear Toasters with both, you know?
Yeah, and I'm sure it's also, like, a little bit of both. Like, nobody's perfect, so maybe, like, your idiosyncrasies just, like, totally clash with the other person's flaws as well.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I could see Dakota Johnson playing a superhero, but maybe she's a versatile actress and we don't know. How to Be Single was a great movie.
Right. That's funny that you think of How to Be Single. I'm only thinking of 50 Shades, but I only saw the first one.
And I've never seen.
That movie was plagued by the fact that the two of them had absolutely no chemistry.
No chemistry.
If anything, they had the opposite of chemistry. They had beef, and that really just pops off the screen.
You know, the thing is, we talk about this all the time, like what it takes to make a great franchise, and Twilight being, you know, the perfect example of two people who were deeply in love, and that chemistry translated so much on screen. It can have the opposite effect. Kissing Booth 2 and 3, Jacob Elordi and Joey King couldn't even stand each other, and the movies flopped for a reason.
Yeah, and also I don't want to spoil it for you because I don't know if you will be watching Victoria ever.
I will.
It's actually not a spoiler, but I mean, you know who Victoria marries.
No. Thank you for asking. That's the thing about historical movies. Like, okay, we watched The Irishman. Spoiler alert if you've never seen it. There's some character, Jimmy Hoffa, and Olivia blurts out, oh, I wonder who ends up murdering Jimmy Hoffa. I'm like, what? Jimmy Hoffa dies? And she's like, he's a real character. You didn't know that. She was being like an intellectual snob. So I think that like this whole thing about spoiler alerts and real move, like real historical, there's a gray area because not everyone knows who Victoria married and who the fuck Jimmy Hoffa was.
Okay, so I won't give a spoiler on what happened and who Victoria chooses, but the person that she chooses and that plays out in the show, the entire time they're filming the show, like the two of them are very much dating in real life, Jenna Coleman and the actor.
Love that.
And like you can feel it come off the screen, like you really, really can. And so then they broke up recently, which is just like so sad. And Victoria season 4, there's been like whispers and it's been delayed and everything. But in the time that, you know, they haven't gotten their shit together, like Jenna Coleman was spotted leaving his townhouse.
Oh.
And so maybe everything will be okay for season 4 if we even get a season 4. Which, because I like it and I found it, it won't happen.
It's gone. A goner.
Finished.
Also, most recently, broke the box office, Spider-Man, Tom Holland and Zendaya being a couple couldn't hurt. I mean, I didn't see it, but I imagine the chemistry was palpable.
Palpable. Agreed. So.
So if you want a successful franchise, fall in love with your co-star.
Yeah, but you can't like fake that. That's the thing. Hollywood can fake a lot of stuff. No, I think that's the je ne sais quoi. That's the it factor.
The secret sauce.
Yeah. And they can do all their CGI. They can like make shit happen, but they can't fake love. And I think that's the moral of the story.
And you know what's so great like about Twilight? Even though, you know, Robert and Kristen are long over. Not recently, but a couple of years after the breakup, she did a really in-depth Howard Stern interview, and there was a lot of speculation because it was, like, so perfect. You know, this huge franchise, two people fall in love. She was like, no, like, it was full. And now she's recently come out as gay, so I think a lot of people question the relationship. And she said, in no way was any of it for press. None of it was fake. Like, we were so in love. It's a great interview she does with Howard Stern. And just to hear that as, like, a Twilight stan, like, it brought tears to my eyes. Like, I got misty-eyed.
That's so beautiful.
Gorgeous.
I think that's a perfect segue to our next story, which is about another iconic couple. And David Beckham is kind of like spilling the tea on his wife and saying that she's eaten the same thing for the last 25 years. And of course, like I was like, click.
Oh, what? I believe it.
What is she eating? Okay, while appearing on the latest episode of River Cafe Table 4 podcast, David Beckham revealed the meal his wife has eaten since they met in the late 1990s. He said, I get quite emotional about food and wine when I'm eating something great. I want everyone to try it. Unfortunately, I'm married to someone that has eaten the same thing for the last 25 years. Since I met Victoria, she only eats grilled fish and steamed vegetables. She will very rarely deviate away from that. He said the only time she probably ever shared something that's been on my plate was actually when she was pregnant with our daughter, Harper. And it was the most amazing thing. I feel like this is you and Ben.
I was just, like, not to make everything about me, but, like, reading this, and I said Ben easily could have written this, only because I know it's actually really hard for Ben. He's such a foodie, and when he goes out, he'll order three things, not because he wants to eat three things, but he wants to try, and if he had a partner who could, you know, split an appetizer or two, like, it would change his life, but he doesn't have that. So we literally pay for a meal for, like, four people, because I get the same thing every time. I go to a restaurant and I look at the menu, I find either the salmon or the chicken. Like, that's, I will never, ever deviate from that. It's just who I am. Like, I'm a creature of habit. Ben has never ordered the same thing twice. Even if we go to the same restaurant two nights in a row, he'll get different things.
Yeah, it really is such a shame because they do say opposites attract. And I'm sure on some level, like, you know, subconsciously that's what makes you guys work, is that you're so different. But what about the convenience of, like, he could order three things that he wants to try, and then you could also order things that three things you want to try, and then we tried six things. Where does that account for, and our opposites attract?
Our food and beverage bills would be half the price if we could share. Like, we just, I don't even know, the only thing we really share is, like, a side of French fries, and I don't even like to share those. Like, they're mine. We get two.
Yeah, and, like, he, like, loves going to new restaurants and trying, like, you know.
Hate.
So, like, who's.
Hate.
And it, now that I think about it, like, he's, oh, you're never going. When he's going omakase, like, you're never there.
No, like, if me and Ben go out to dinner, I go to the same four restaurants. Like, I love Sierra Bond. I like Kaima. I like Gemma, Serafina. There's, like, five restaurants I'll go to. And they're not even, like, the best restaurants in the city. They just have shit there that I like, and I get the same thing every time. We couldn't be more different. And I know it actually, like, it plagues Ben.
That's so unfortunate, logistically. But
that's,
you know what?
Why he has so many friends that want to share appetizers with him.
He has so many friends. And now, like, knowing Victoria and David Beckham, who have really stood every test in Hollywood, stood the test of time, 25 years, happily married. Yeah. There might be something to this. And maybe it's just, like, the fact that you have your own things. Like, maybe if you guys were too similar, you know, then you would fight over what you would want to order and try. You would also, like, fight over, like, what was the best thing. Now, like, you each have your own thing.
Right.
He can tell you what the best thing on the menu was, and you just believe him.
Well, we order in a lot, especially, you know, since the pandemic started, like, even more. And if it were up to me, I would order the same thing every night. I get chicken teriyaki from Sushi Seki. Like, it is my absolute, I could eat it till I die. And every time I come home, Ben's like, what do you want to order? I'm like, Seki. And it, like, pains him because he's eating the same thing multiple times a week. And I actually got a notification from Uber Eats that I'm in, like, the top 0.01% of people who order from Sushi Seki. And do you know how many times I've ordered from Sushi Seki in the last year? And this was, like, a couple weeks ago.
How many?
100.
I've been getting those.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy. I get a lot of those badges these days of, like, I'm in the top 5% of customers. Every restaurant I order from, they're like, you're in the top 5% of customers. I'm like, what's everyone else doing then? Where are you going? Like, I
100%. Like, they're leaving their house.
Some places I do order from a lot, but sometimes I'm just like, you know, once every few weeks. And yeah, I guess they are leaving their house, but nothing is more embarrassing than getting those badges. I don't know if Uber Eats and Postmates, like,
they have to stop
as a point of pride, but it's humiliating. Humiliating to know that I'm in the top 1% of people who order bagels from this bagel place.
When I saw three digits of the amount of times that I've ordered from sushi, I wanted to literally die.
That's insane.
It's definitely, you know what, it's not good business. It's not good business because every time I thought about ordering food, I was like, you know what, I'll just go pick something up because I couldn't stand the shame of my Uber Eats app. So they should really stop.
Yeah. Agreed. On that note, are you ready for our fifth and final story?
I'm not going to sing. Yeah, I'm fine.
Please sing. Everyone wants you to sing. It's Friday.
I don't
want you to sing.
Jackie, do you know what I did yesterday?
What did you do?
I read some recent podcast reviews, okay?
Oh, I read some too the other day. There was one that really bothered me. There was one that bothered me.
Me too.
But I can't remember. Mine was yours.
Did they recently start doubling up how many ads they do? It's literally the whole show. I'm like, okay, so we do a 60-minute episode. We do three, maybe four ads, 1 minute each. So 4 minutes out of 60 is the whole show, wench. And this is a business, bitch. Like, we have shit to do.
Wench. Wait, I'm dying.
It was such a wenchy comment.
You guys, I'm going to give you a little, like, trick of the trade for podcasts. Pretty much for every 15 minutes is one ad. So if we're doing an hour show, that's four ads. And so we're not doing any more or less ads than we were supposed to be doing. I don't really
want
to. Okay, I just pulled up. Oh my God, I'm not even going to look quickly. I can't remember what it was that hurt my feelings. But and there were a lot of negative ones, but sometimes they don't hurt. I'm like, okay, that's your opinion. Cool.
Yeah.
There was just, like, something that.
I think I know what it was because I saw it too. Was it, like, really complimentary to me and, like, really nasty to you?
What was the nastiness to me?
It was just like, Claudia is a born entertainer, which was so nice.
Oh, no, I haven't seen this.
Keep going. And then it was like, and Jackie's just like monotone and she ends every sentence with a G. I didn't even know what that meant.
With a G. Okay, yeah. Now I'll have to look out for that. But no, that wasn't even it.
Well, there was like two that actually really bothered me because I guess some people didn't like what we had to say about Jenny Wen. And they were like,
okay.
Well, if this was about the Jewish community, you know they only care about things that relate to them. And then it's like literally the next week we had a whole segment on Whoopi Goldberg's anti-Semitism. And I think we literally gave the same amount. We literally said the same thing to Jenny that we said about.
Same principle.
And because we are principled people. Right.
That's what's nice about having principles. You can just apply them to everything and you'll be consistent. I saw those comments on the Jenny Wen episode and I was just like, is this your first time listening? Because when have we ever gone harder against someone? If anything, I feel like we're more forgiving when someone insults the Jewish community because we just like don't want to believe that like people have
hate
that
us.
Amount of hate in their hearts.
You know, and I really feel like I'm extremely inconsistent in most facets of my life. Like I'm extremely hypocritical. But I actually feel like when we talk about cancel culture, I feel like I'm very equal when it's like a community that I'm a part of. Or a community that I'm not a part of. That's like something I actually like to pride myself on. So I didn't appreciate that. And I'm never reading podcast reviews again.
Yeah, well, I just like scroll down to some and now I'll try and find the one that
just
hurt
don't
me,
do it. No, Jackie, you're pregnant and you need to protect true. Your aura and your energy. And seriously, I'll kill you if you do it.
Okay. Okay. Great. But there's like whatever. Sometimes there's something in there. I'm like, you know what? That's actually some pretty good feedback.
Yes, of course.
I'll incorporate that.
It's important to know, like, sometimes people actually do give critical feedback, like, in a helpful, nice way. And they don't give you one star. They're like, I love this show. 4 stars. But could you just do this? Thank you.
Yeah. Agreed. Agreed. Okay. Are you ready for our fifth and final story now, which you're not going to sing because you've been... Because
I've been silenced.
Well, it's about the Winter Olympics, which kicked off last night, opening ceremonies of the 2022 Winter Olympics. Today is our first day of activities. They are taking place in Beijing, which is 13 hours ahead of the East Coast. So it's like very, you know, there's the live, but then there's also going to be prime time and it's going to be confusing because did the opening ceremonies aired last night?
I don't know. Brian didn't want to watch it. We were like stuck in this documentary that I'm going to talk about in 5 minutes.
I did not see one thing.
Where's
about
the support?
Anyone watching?
Where's the opening?
I have no idea.
Yeah, no, I thought the same thing. There's like very little energy being put towards. I think it's because it's okay. Like controversial.
Well, yes, it is controversial, but also the opening ceremony will air in prime time tonight.
Oh, okay, good.
It
so
already
didn't miss
happened.
Anything.
Okay, yeah, and I was thinking, why would it premiere on a Thursday? That's just like not good television. That's not the show business.
If you're looking for premium coverage of the Olympics, I highly suggest following Leslie Jones on all social media platforms. She watches every single minute of it, and she records herself and her reactions. And seriously, the fact that NBC hasn't hired her like an official capacity as an Olympic correspondent is devastating because she's so funny. It's like my favorite thing to watch. And as far as I know, she's literally the only person talking about it.
Yeah, but there hasn't been much to talk about yet. But today we will have activities starting at 12 noon Eastern time. Ooh. But then the opening ceremony will air tonight. So it's just it's confusing.
All over the place.
Very much so.
Okay, well, that's very exciting. There's also a historic moment happening for Israel. The first modern Orthodox woman is an Olympian, and she is competing. So I just, you'd love to see. That's as far as I know.
Okay.
I only read the headline.
We'll have to watch the opening ceremony to find out.
Yeah, very exciting. So I love the Olympics. I will be tuning in, but I do agree there's like a lack of energy, a lack of momentum, lack of spirit for the Winter Olympics. And I just think the Winter Olympians deserve more. It's also Shaun White's last Olympics. Like there's a lot. It's a historic season.
Oh wow. I didn't realize that he was
retiring.
Competing. I thought he was going to be like broadcasting.
No, I think you know, let me just double check my facts cuz you know I like to make things
no,
up.
No, you sound right. He's like still does his thing.
He's so cute. You know he's dating Nina Dobrev.
Of course I know. Ship so hard.
Shaun White on 22 Winter Olympics. It's tough to say goodbye. So yeah, I think this is his last one.
Very cool.
And him and Nina Dobrev are actually extremely cute.
Extremely.
I'm happy for them.
Me too. Okay, well, those are the Fast Five stories. I feel as though you needed to know them. And now Claudia is going to share everything that she's been watching. Before you do, let me just say I started season 5 of Poldark. I finished with my break. I know how you love when I talk about Poldark, Claudia. You're just like,
well, can I tell you something?
What did Ross do? What did Demelza say?
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I have literally no idea what Poldark is. Like, you keep talking about it. I'm like, it took me a while to figure out it was a TV show. Like, I'm seriously, like, I'm so confused every time you talk about it.
Okay. It is a TV show. It's a period piece. It is set, now where it's 1800 in London. They do live in Cornwall most of the time. And it's just...
They don't live in Illyria?
No, but of course, that's what I was thinking. It's just a historical fiction
television
show.
What channel?
It's on Amazon Prime. There's 5 seasons. And if you're into that sort of thing, like, it is a really good show. It has really good moments, but it's also incredibly frustrating. And so I watched 4 seasons and I needed a break from it, from Ross Poldark and his antics. I just came back for season 5 because I just want to close the book on it. Season 5 is somehow even more frustrating than all of the other seasons. So I just need to plow through and get to the end because they're really just like driving the show into the ground. No offense. And
the tea, the shade.
Yeah, but I would still like recommend it if you're into that sort of thing. But this is what happens with all television shows. You know, there's only so much you can do. And it's like you don't want to cause too much strife and controversy within the show, because then like your faves might get broken up. And like, I don't want to see that for Ross and Demelza. I do ship. So it is what it is, but it's also very frustrating. So I will finish that this weekend. I'm actually really excited to start Real Housewives of Miami now that I am like a Larsa stan. I'm gonna make an Instagram fan account.
Stop. Larsa stan for life. Okay, well, the TV recap is brought to you by Sunbasket. Who's ready to feel amazing this year? Sunbasket delivers healthy meals so you aren't on the hook to shop and cook to hit your health goals. Because old habits die hard, so if you're looking to kick off the new year with healthy eating habits, check out Sunbasket Meals. They deliver the joy of eating food with bold flavors, organic produce, and sustainable seafood and meats. Their award-winning chefs are constantly innovating with new recipes and global tastes to keep it interesting. Each week, they have dozens of options. Their fresh and ready meals are perfect hot lunch hack. Heat and eat in minutes. And you can put dinner on autopilot with easy to prep meal kits that impress for date night to win over picky eaters in your family. I'm extremely picky. We literally just spoke about that for 20 minutes. And there's so much variety when it comes to Sunbasket. They have really good food. And if you're not like, you know, Chef Boyardee, the heat and eat is very easy to use. And I love it. They've got also healthy snacks, grab and go breakfast items. Whether you eat vegetarian, paleo, gluten-free, or low-carb, high-protein, Sunbasket has something to check any and every box. And right now, Sunbasket is offering $90 off and a free gift when you order. Go to sunbasket.com/toast and enter the promo code toast at checkout. That's sunbasket.com/toast. Enter promo code toast at checkout. You will not regret it. So the 2 documentaries that I watched, the first one, which was like a little bit lighter, was The Tinder Swindler. And I told you, it's this man who literally used Tinder in Europe to do a Ponzi scheme of over $10 million. He told everyone he was like the son of this really rich Israeli guy. So he took his name, but the guy had no sons. So like literally these girls who he was meeting them on Tinder, took them on a private jet, their first date. And it turned out like with every girl he was like swindling, he was using money from a previous girl. So he would get in relationships with them, buy them everything they want. And then the money runs out and he's like, oh my God, all my diamond, he's in the diamond business. All my diamond enemies are onto me. They're trying to kill me. He sends pictures of like fake blood. He's like, oh my God, I can't, they're tracing my credit cards. Can you just like lend me your credit card? And he would run up these crazy charges, make the women take out loans. Most of them are now in debt for $250,000 each. It was a crazy story, and the women really got the story to be told and got him arrested. They contacted the biggest paper in Norway. 2 of the women sat down, and then once the article came out, all these women all over Europe, like London, Oslo, Norway, started to come forward. And the woman who actually ended up facilitating his arrest was this queen, like queen. Okay, but she was so pissed. Before she turned him in, she was like, literally, I'm $140,000 in debt, and if he gets turned in, like, I'm fucked. So he was telling her, like, I need money, I need money, I need money. She's like, okay, I have a great idea. Let me sell all your designer clothes for you. I work in luxury fashion. I will sell all your designer clothes. I'll come to, I think he was in Amsterdam. He's like, I'll come pick it up and then I'll send you the money. So he's so desperate. He's like, okay, amazing. She goes, she takes 3 enormous suitcases of all of his designer clothes that he's acquired over the years and starts listing them on eBay. And she never told us how much she ended up making. She said she didn't make back the full amount, but like it was enough to make a dent and really like screw him over, because after that he was like spending $12 a night to live in a hostel. And she found out what name he was going to use for his next life. He kept changing his name, and she reported him to the police and he got arrested. He literally did 15 months in prison. He got sentenced to 15. Sorry, he only stayed for 5. He's out and about. He's free now, living his best life. These women are still in debt. And when they take out these loans, they have crazy interest rates. So they keep making payments, but they're fucked. Like, they're whatever. So the whole thing was really interesting because his Instagram, he was posing as Simon Levive, the son of this heiress of the LLD Diamonds. LLD Diamonds is a real company that has absolutely nothing to do with this. And they had to post a statement on their Instagram being like, we're like a small business. Like, we have nothing to do with this man. Leave us alone. But I went to Simon's Instagram last night and he had 159,000 followers and he was on private. And I was like, fuck, I wanted to stalk. Then when we finished the documentary, I checked again. He had 175,000 and he was on public. And I saw that we had a mutual friend. And I was like, oh my God, I'm freaking out. So I texted my friend and I was like, so funny. I'm like, how do you know Simon Levive? He goes, ha ha, I don't. I'm like, but why do you guys, like, why do you follow him? I just watched a documentary and I'm obsessed. And I just want to say, like, the fact this person is like a man about town. He runs in fabulous circles. Like, he would know. It wasn't shocking at all.
Yeah.
So I'm like, why do you follow him? I just watched a documentary and I'm obsessed. He goes, because I just watched a documentary also.
Oh, my God.
And I immediately followed him. I literally thought we had a mutual friend. He was like, no, I just watched a documentary and I thought it was so crazy.
I thought you were going to say that you found someone that you're friends with who, like, thought this guy is who he says he is and, like, was going to be his next victim.
I thought I was about to blow my friend's mind being like, Simon Levive is not who you think he is. His name is Simon Hayu. Like, but it wasn't.
That is so funny.
And then the next thing I watched is this three-part TLC documentary called Taken at Birth about the Dr. Hicks babies, which I had never heard of. But in 1997, this article came out and blew this whole thing wide open. Basically, there was a man in Georgia who was running, like, a clinic, but it was well-known underground for being, like, a safe place to get an illegal abortion. Because, you know, back in the day, you couldn't get an abortion. If you did, it was really dangerous. And he was, like, known for, like, taking care of all these women. And it turns out that he was running this incredibly fucked up adoption ring where he was either women came to him to give birth and he would tell them that their babies died and then be selling the baby out the back door for $1,000 to like random women across the country who were infertile, or women would come for an abortion and he was like, I guess, some like pro-life activist who would be like, no, listen, keep the baby and I will take care of it for you. So he would keep these women pregnant until like 30 weeks and have them like induced. So these babies would be like tiny. This woman said, I came to pick up my daughter and I could fit her in both my hands. Like, and they, like, it was just so, it was so fucked up. And so now all these Hicks babies who have like recently found each other are trying to find their lineage. They're trying to find their birth parents. There's no documentation because all of their birth certificates are fraudulent. Like, and because it has their adopted parents' names on their birth certificate. So thanks to 23andMe and like Ancestry, like, some people are able to find like close relatives, but this was also the 50s. So most of these people's parents have passed away without ever finding out that they had a child. They literally thought, this woman thought she gave birth to two stillborn twins and we found one of them, Steven. Like, it's so fucked up.
Oh my God. But wait, so the people who gave birth to, and then he said that the babies died, like, they wanted to keep their babies?
Yes, they just came to give birth.
Oh my God.
It's so horrible. And, like, the town is really weird because, like, there's a lot of old people who live in the town who were around during that time. And it was, like, a well-known thing that he was doing. And, like, they all kept his secret. And he was, like, this honorable man who everyone loved. But, like, people knew about it. Like, it's not like this is coming as a shock. The town is, like, trying to cover it up. And it's, like, really fucked up. And there's just, like, a lot of creepy things happening. But where I left off last night is that there's a chance they exhumed the body of Dr. Hicks's son to get DNA because he died about 40 years ago. Dr. Hicks himself died like a million years ago. So they exhumed his body to get DNA from the son because they think a lot of these babies are related to Dr. Hicks. Like, he was fucking around on the side. Him and his son were both fucking around on the side and were literally like taking these babies from the women that they got pregnant and giving them to families who were struggling with fertility. So last night they exhumed the body. We have to get the DNA. I don't know what's going to come of it, but it's the most.
Do you think that they were intentionally getting women pregnant so that they had babies to sell?
I don't know. It's, the thing is like, this happened so long ago. There's like no information. They're literally like grasping at straws.
Oh my God. That is so fucking spooky. It makes my stomach hurt.
It's Pittsfield. Don't watch it. Like, it's really fucked up.
No. I don't think I'm in a position to.
But if you're not pregnant. Yeah. If you're not pregnant, I highly recommend. TLC did a stand-up job.
Wow, that's insane.
Insane. So that's my TV recap. Sorry, it's a little dark, but I was in a documentary mood yesterday.
You can't help these things. Honestly, a documentary mood is a pretty good mood. I need to see where my TV path is going to take me next. I really do not know.
Check out The Tinder Swindler. It was kind of crazy.
Yeah, I might. I like that. That sounds like American Greed.
And they all, like, he was communicating with all of his different girlfriends on WhatsApp, and they have everything. They have all, he loved to send voice memos. So, like, you hear him yelling and going crazy. He was always sending videos, like, miss you, baby, on, like, on a private plane. So, like, it's really embarrassing for him. And they have, like, a lot of footage from all the WhatsApp chats.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So good.
Thanks for sharing.
It's a pleasure. So that's our show for now. If you're going to continue watching, we have a great segment that's brought to you by Bacardi. And that's all she wrote. Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, Morning Toast, leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are, and how we are principled queens. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you on Monday, and enjoy your weekend. Be safe.
Bye.
Welcome back to The Morning Toast. We are so excited for our next segment, which is brought to you by the Bacardi Party Tour. We are sitting down with Joe and Andrew from Loud Luxury, who are headlining the Bacardi Party Tour and just happen to be two of my favorite people to follow on TikTok. So welcome to The Toast. Thank you guys so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
So can you tell us a little bit about the Bacardi Party Tour? Like, where have you been so far? What stops do you have left? What are you looking forward to?
I mean, we've been all over. It's been a pretty wild ride. All the shows have been probably some of the best shows we've done this year, which we're super thankful for, just coming out of the pandemic and actually being able to tour again. So we're super, super excited for the rest of the shows.
That's so fun. What has it been like working with Bacardi, and how are you guys going to close out this tour?
It's been awesome working with Bacardi. You know, they really believe in what we're doing, not just on the show side, but also on the music side. We've collaborated on some really awesome things. We even actually made our own drink together for the tour. So it's really a top-down experience from the second that you step into one of these parties, where it feels like it's a true collaboration between Loud Luxury and Bacardi.
So we know the tour is in full swing. Can you tell us your favorite stop along the Bacardi Party Tour and why?
Well, I mean, all of them have been amazing. The shows have been literally 10 out of 10. One of them that was really special was in Pennsylvania. We got to be there for Halloween. We got to spend some time there, and that's always a great place to just kind of hang out. But I mean, Indiana, Texas, we've done Georgia, Minnesota, all of them have been great.
Seeing this great nation.
I personally loved College Station because we got the most Texas experience of all time there. We ate fried gator. We went to this country bar after. It was like the most Texas experience you could possibly get. And that was really cool to us because normally we're just in Dallas and more like the metropolitan cities.
Wow, that's such a fun way to see like all of our different cities in our great nation, like through the lens of the colleges.
Through partying.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
This tour sounds like, honestly, a dream, like the most fun a person could possibly have. The Bacardi brand ethos is do what moves you. How do you guys feel like Loud Luxury embodies this? Does what moves you guys?
I mean, the only thing we're thinking about when we're in the studio is just, are people going to dance to this? Is this going to get people going? When we're playing songs for people, we're literally just watching and just seeing how their body reacts. Like, that is literally the fundamental thing of what you do in dance music. So I think Bacardi and us have that in common.
Now, not to get too personal, but what moves you, both of you?
I mean, we
honestly
really love this tour because it kind of brings us back to our college days. I mean, that's the big thing for us, is going back to all these great colleges and really just like getting to play all of our new music, because all the music that we made was during the pandemic. So we didn't really have a time to really play it out for anybody other than like on live streams or like anything like that. So for us, it's really been special being able to play all the new music out for people.
And I know this is like asking your favorite child, but what is your favorite Bacardi cocktail?
Well, the Lux Lemonade, because that's the one that we did together. Yeah, the Lux Lemonade for sure.
It sounds delicious.
Yeah. It's actually really simple to make.
How do you make it?
Walk us through it.
Yeah, the Lux Lemonade is actually super simple to make. Yeah, all right. So what you need is you need Bacardi Limon, which is actually amazing. And I wasn't really a rum drinker until this. So I love Bacardi Limon. And then you just mix it with some lemonade. I think it's 1 1/2 ounces of Bacardi Limon with 3 ounces of lemonade. And you put in a tall glass, tons of ice, give it a quick stir, and then you're set. And we've been drinking that the whole tour and loving it.
That gorgeous. Sounds so good. I'm about to give birth, but once I do, that sounds
definitely
like
can't be drinking
such
it. That
refreshing way to celebrate. No,
we'll
no,
make you
like,
a nice
I'm,
lemonade.
I'm, you know,
yeah.
I'm getting I'm getting prepared for you know what I can look forward to, and that sounds like something I should add to my list of things.
People get excited, like, what's going to be my first drink?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I mean,
people get excited, like, what's going to be my first drink after birth?
Yeah. A lot of people have asked me, like, what's going to be the first thing I'm going to eat that I couldn't eat before, like, activity that I couldn't do before. But for first drink, like, this is definitely up there of something that I've got to try. That just honestly sounds really refreshing mm-hmm. and a great foray back into the world of alcohol, for sure. We love a good foray.
Well, if you make it to the Bacardi party, we'll have one all together.
Yeah, hopefully we can yes. one of the shows.
Claudia would love that. She's just dying to
oh my God.
Relive her college days because she went to a school in a city. She did not have like the real experience. I think Claudia needs to become a groupie for the Bacardi
headline
party.
With you guys.
Hey, you're welcome on stage anytime.
Groupie? Jackie, I'm married.
You're welcome on stage Claudia.
Anytime. She just means you're going to come to some shows with us.
You know, I did just release a song that it's critically acclaimed. Like, it's up for a Peabody, it's up for a Nobel Peace Prize. And maybe you guys just listen to it and you let me know what you think. It's on Spotify. It's called 100% by Claudia Ashra. You check it out, you let me know.
We will, 100%. Pun intended.
Claudia, yes. You gotta get yourself on this tour. I think it'll catch you up for like years worth of college partying that you missed.
I think it's also what my music career really needs.
Yeah. The FOMO is real. What do you guys usually do to get ready to celebrate game day?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, for us, we like to wake up. The good thing about game day is that it's early. So you get to wake up and have a really nice breakfast. I'm personally a sucker for the Chick-fil-A breakfast. That was one of my favorite parts of going to Athens, Georgia, when we played there, is that it's just Chick-fil-A at every street corner.
That was the only thing that we could get a reservation
I think
at,
we load up on a nice breakfast.
you got to make
yeah, because it was right before game day. And
that's the one tip. You just got to make a reservation because literally we tried to eat pretty much at every single bar that was – or like food spot or whatever it was just on the strip. Everywhere was a minimum hour wait. And the only thing that we didn't have to wait in a crazy, crazy line for was Chick-fil-A. There's still a line, but we got to eat there.
That sounds like a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, I've never been to a number one ranked football school. The atmosphere is totally different, especially before every game day, because there's just so much riding on that game. So the city, it feels like it's like, you know, a stick of dynamite that's about to just explode. Mm-hmm. Like the energy is contagious. And we felt that playing the show too in Georgia as well, is that everyone is just so hyped, has so much energy. It was really special.
And beyond the Bacardi party tour, you guys also just released your EP Holiday Hills, right?
Yeah.
Can you tell us about
like
that?
I was saying earlier, yeah. We made that pretty much over the entirety of the pandemic. I mean, we had nothing but time. So it was a big adjustment, just kind of going from playing shows all the time and traveling and, you know, doing that whole thing to basically having all the time in the world on our hands. So we were able to really just like kind of sit down, make some music and work on some new stuff for everyone. So that was a blessing in disguise also, because, I mean, that's one thing about being on the road and touring so much is it's actually really hard to really sit down and focus on making music.
Yeah, wow. What's your favorite, what's your guys' each personal favorite Loud Luxury song?
It's like asking to pick between your favorite child.
I know.
A D'Angelo's choice, that's what we call it here at the Morning Toast.
Yes.
Well, personally, my favorite type of music is music I create myself, so I feel like that's an unfair question,
to be
honest.
But you guys
got to
remix it.
Okay, so you get it. Then why would you ask us that?
Yeah, you know. That's true. That's actually fair. Touche, Andrew. Touche.
Watching you, Claudia.
Okay, so There's a lot going on with you guys, but what can your fans really expect to see and hear from you next?
Well, we got two more stops on the Bacardi Party Tour. We're keeping that train running, even starting with this weekend. We're playing at Columbia, Missouri. And that's going to be a really awesome show, because last time we came there was a Halloween show on our bus tour. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was a Halloween show on our bus tour, and it was honestly one of our favorite shows we've ever done.
Hopefully we'll have a couple new songs to play for people too.
Yeah, well, so for anyone listening, the Bacardi Party Tour is making its next stop in Columbia, Missouri, February 5th.
Yes.
21 plus RSVP only post-game celebration of the Tigers versus Aggies basketball game from 9 p.m. until midnight. So you don't want to miss it. It sounds super fun. I think I might have to fly out to Missouri.
Or Tempe. Don't forget that.
Yeah, and then after that party, we're keeping it going on the 19th. Yeah, on the 19th of February. The 19th of February, we're going to be in Tempe, Arizona. Which is honestly one of our favorite places to play. We love it.
Yeah, that's always a crazy time.
So we're really excited for that one as well.
That's always a crazy time. So you have two left that you can
Arizona's fun.
On stage with us.
So if anyone wants to RSVP for the last events, go to BacardiPartyTour.com. Joe, Andrew, thank you guys so much for being here. Good luck with the rest of the tour. And just let me know about that collab. You just let me know.
Thank you so much. Anytime.
Thank you so much.
Bye, guys. Have a great one.
Bye.
Yes.
Yes.
Bye, everyone.